I want to conclude tonight by drawing your attention to one verse of Scripture in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And verse 33, the story of David and Goliath. Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Saul's opinion of David was, because he was young, he was not able to be of use in serving the Lord. He was not able to be of use in fighting the Lord's battles. "Thou art not able," Saul said. "Thou art but a youth." That's what I want you to think about. Thou art but a youth. As though that statement dismisses the ability or the opportunity of a young person to achieve anything in the Lord's service. Our brother Kelvin was speaking about some of our younger members of the staff. I was quite impressed from one of the assistant directors all the way down to those who were working with the activities director. These are young men that I have seen as campers over the years. And I've watched them, and now to see them in the capacities in which they're serving, conducting themselves as mature people, is an indication to me that the Lord uses young people. There is in the context here in 1 Samuel a demonstration of which the way in which a young person or any person can serve the Lord effectively. And I want you just to notice these things that were true of David, that in spite of his youth, made him able to serve the Lord and to gain a great victory. He was a youth with knowledge of God's Word. And this is a message for the young people who are here in our midst. Do not minimize the value of learning the Word of God. Young people with the knowledge of God's Word are a formidable force in the world. In our camp this year, there were more than 150 young people from across North America. Some of them, as our brother Kelvin said, have great problems in dealing with the Word of God, but there are others who have grown up under the Word of God. Some of those are going on with God, and some are not. But when you have the knowledge of God's Word, as David did, then you take the position that he took in verse 26 of this chapter, when he asked the question, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Clearly, David understood that which God had said concerning those peoples in the land of Canaan. And with that knowledge of God's Word, he was able then to apply it to the situation in which he found himself and to say, "We do not need to sit here and listen to this defiance. God has given a word. Let us act upon it." So I say to our young people, gain the knowledge of God's Word. Then we see also that David was a youth with zeal for God's cause. Because when his oldest brother Eliab rebuked him for coming, David being the youngest of the brethren, the youngest of the sons of Jesse, Eliab said to him, "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Now Eliab, of course, had made no move to take on Goliath. But when David began to speak about the need to do so, Eliab rebuked him. And David's response in verse 29 was to say, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause Here was a youth with zeal. He knew that there was a cause, and the cause was the honor of God and the honor of God's word. One of the great burdens that we have in our ministry in the youth camp is to see our young people zealous for God's cause. I spoke about it this morning, to see people with zeal and passion for the work of God. It's one of our great prayers. God would deliver us from young people who are marked by passivity. There's a great difference between humility and meekness and passivity. Some people equate those things. They think to be humble and to be meek is to be passive. It's not to do anything. That's not biblical. To be humble and to be meek is to be submitted to the direction of God. It is to be full of zeal. I've been thinking much upon that text concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that the disciples remembered how it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." I'm going to preach on that sometime. Maybe next year at camp, who knows. But I've been thinking much upon it. Here was a youth with zeal for God's cause. David was a youth with trust in God's power. If you continue on in the chapter down to verse 36, you find the confidence of David in the presence of Saul, that this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, the lion and the bear that he had already slain. And then you can read farther down in verses 45 to 47, his statement to Goliath, what would happen. Here was one who trusted in the power of God. And then I would say, last of all, David was a youth who acted at God's command. He went into the battle because he knew that God had given him the opportunity and the direction. And you read in verses 48 through 51 of how David prevailed. He didn't prevail in a conventional fashion. He prevailed because God had directed him. And I like, in verse 48, the word about David that when Goliath the giant came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Here was the young man now, a teenager. Here was the young man in action. At God's command. He used the armament that he had, the stone in his bag, and he smote the Philistine. And he killed the Philistine. So here was David then acting at God's command, not delaying, not holding back, not waiting to see what else was going to happen, who else was going to get involved. He knew that God had put him there. And with his knowledge of God's word and his zeal for God's cause and his trust in God's power, he ran. That's the kind of spirit we pray God will put into the young people of our denomination. A desire to be engaged. A desire to use all their energies and all their abilities to advance God's cause. Let's pray to that end. As our brother has said, let's pray that though the word has already gone forth now, though the camp is now over, and yes, the work of planning next year's camp will soon begin. They'll be meeting within the next week or two and having, as it were, a post-mortem, going over everything that has happened and beginning to lay the ground for the camp next year. Though that is true, the Word of God is still speaking. The Word of God is still powerful. Let us pray it will yield fruit. Appearances can be deceptive. I learned at camp this year of things that have happened as a result of messages that were preached 2 years ago. And though at the time you couldn't have told anything, God was working. And God has been working. Let's pray that God will continue to work now. There was a great emphasis in the camp this year on the gospel. I was struck by it as well. The Lord led from the very beginning in straight up gospel preaching. And it was certainly a thrill as I came to the end of the message that I preached, felt led to make a direct appeal, to ask if there would be anyone there who was at the wall and who had tried everything and realized that it was impossible, needed help. And when I put that appeal, immediately a hand went up. And as the meeting was being dismissed and the young people were going out, that young lady came and said to me, "I'd like to talk to you after lunch." And the amazing thing was, as I found out later, she was probably the shyest person in the camp. And it was an amazing thing that she would come up to me and say, "I would like to talk to you." We did talk that afternoon. And very simply, when I asked her, "What do you want to talk about?" she said, "I want to talk about becoming a Christian." Not even 13 years old yet. To turn 13 in a couple months. "I want to talk about becoming a Christian." And very simply, she called on the Lord to save her. And we need to pray for her as well, that the Lord will consolidate that work in her heart. God is at work. Let us pray that He will continue that work in the days to come.